Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Is this thing on? Yeah, okay. It sounded like it was on there for a minute. I tell you what, I see why Brother Shepherd's always sweating. I'm about to burn up here. To be honest with you, I'm like, it's hot. It is really hot up here tonight. It was hot up here this morning, but it's a whole lot hotter up here tonight. All right, we're going to begin reading there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. I'll read down to the end of the chapter there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So my thought comes from the verse 57 there, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I'd like to preach on tonight, victory in Jesus. We sang the song, faith is the victory. Faith in Jesus is the victory. It's the victory that overcometh the world, as the song says. So I'd like to preach for just a few minutes tonight on victory in Jesus. So y'all bow with me. Father, I thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for helping me. I thank you for strengthening me. I thank you so much for all that's come out tonight. And I pray that you'd please meet with us here tonight. I need you something fierce. I pray that you'd please speak to me and through me and help me to deliver the thought you've given me. And help me to be careful to say what you want me to say and refrain me from saying anything that would be harmful or a hindrance to the Word of God and the work of God. I pray that you'd have your will and way in the service tonight, and we'll give you all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So I'd like to preach with that thought in mind, victory in Jesus. The first point is victory over sin. That's what we got, victory in Jesus. We got victory over sin. If you turn back in Romans chapter 6, I really want to read the whole chapter, but I'm just gonna pick up in verse 5, or Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, and I'll read down until I feel like I need to stop. I think I'll only read about 14 or 15, but we'll see. We'll start there in verse 5. And I may pause and comment on it, but Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'll pause there. The victory over sin. If you are born again and the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you, His Spirit abides in you, you have victory over sin. The whole chapter of 6 in Romans right there gives us that assurance that we have victory over sin. We do not have to sin. We know that we are still capable of sinning, but we don't have to sin. We're not bound by sin. If you go on to read there, it's up to us. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So I think it's pretty clear and evident that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory over sin through Jesus Christ. It's not in and of ourselves. It's not the power that we possess in ourselves, but it's the power that we have that is given to us from our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over sin. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus. That cleanses us. That cleanses us from all sin. And we know in 1 John, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for us. And not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. We know that through 1 John. So, and God's grace is sufficient for us, to us and for us, to overcome sin. And we have the victory over sin. Jesus is God, and God is greater than sin. Any sin that we could ever fall prey to, He's greater than that. He was an overcomer, and He's made us to be overcomers, and we are overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ if we trust and rest in His power and in His might. So we have victory over sin. Secondly, we have victory over Satan. Revelation, you don't have to turn to Revelation 12, 9 through 11. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we have the power over, we have the victory over Satan, and it's through the blood of the Lamb. It's through Jesus, victory in Jesus. That's what I'm preaching about. So we have victory over Satan through Jesus Christ. You and I belong to God. You and I were bought with a price. We know that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you don't own yourself. If you're born again, you don't own yourself. Beforehand, you had sold yourself to the devil. You swallowed his lie and you was a servant unto him. But when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what I was preaching about this morning, when you repented and believed the gospel, you are no longer under that master. You're no longer under his dominion. That in Romans 6 there, it talks about we're no longer under the law. That's the law of sin and death. If you go on and read in chapter 7, we're not under that law anymore. We're not under the law of sin and death. It don't have dominion over us. We don't have to fall prey to it. That don't mean we... I'm not trying to say we can live... I don't believe in sinless perfection, but I don't believe that we have to sin. He's always makes a way of escape. We're always without... If we sin, we're without excuse. We can never have an excuse for our sin. And He's always made a way to escape from the sin. We don't have to fall prey to it. That's what I'm trying to say. Because we belong to God, and we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we have victory over the spirit of error. We have victory over the spirit of error. We know that, well, just turn over to 1 John. That's not too far from here. Just turn over to 1 John. I'll just read it. I love John, the little Johns, as I call them. 1 John chapter 4. The first six verses right there. I hear y'all turning, so I'll wait just a minute. Talking about victory over the spirit of error. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, whereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the whole world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now stop there in verse 6. We have the Spirit of God. If we're born again, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. We know that's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and that's the Spirit of truth. So through the Spirit of truth, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory over the spirit of error. We don't have to fall prey to error. We don't have to. We don't have to fall prey to that. There's a lot of false doctrines. There's a lot of people out there that deny that Jesus is coming in the flesh, because they believe that he had a special kind of body. He didn't have a fleshly body like mine and yours, but we know better than that. Hebrews tells us that he was. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, and he took part in the same flesh and blood, it says, same, took in the part. He was made like unto us in all respect, but yet he was still God as well. He never yielded to sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, but yet he never sinned. He overcame. He overcame the devil in the garden, when the wilderness, when the devil tempted him when he was fasting. He overcame all those three areas, the same areas, I believe, that Satan tempted Adam and Eve in Garden of Eden, and they fell. Jesus was tempted the same way, all three points, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, but yet he overcame, and through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the victory over those temptations. We can overcome that through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory over the spirit of error. When that false truth, it ain't even truth, it's false, it's error. It's just error, false doctrine, false whatever comes our way. We have the victory over that. We don't have to fall to that. But I will interject this, that if you're not studied in the Word, if you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of the truth, you will fall prey to the spirit of error, even as a child of God. That's why it's important. That's not in the message, but I added it in there because it fits. If you're not studied up, you will fall prey to that spirit of error. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We have the victory over the spirit of error if we abide in the Scripture. I just said that prior to that. This right here is the spirit of truth. Paul talked about when that which is perfect comes. I read it, Brother Blue's book talked about that. He believed that's the King James Bible, and I can see where that is. I can see where that's true, that Paul had a hope of a full canon of Scripture to come in the future. And we know that if you follow Paul's path and the direction that the Spirit was leading him, it led right to where the root, the King James Bible came out of. And I believe the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God for the English-speaking people. I know some people deny that. I've heard some crazy stuff just this past week. I won't go into detail. that this Bible was written in the 1500s by Martin Luther. But anyway, yeah, that was the spirit of error. That's the spirit of error, what I heard. Yeah, it was, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I had the victory to overcome that because I know the truth. Amen. I have the spirit of truth indwelling me. Yeah, I see you back there nodding your head. Number four, we have victory over self. We have victory over self in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have the victory over self if we let the Spirit of God lead us. The Spirit of God, what I was just talking about, the Spirit of truth that indwells us, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, if we let Him lead, or it could be said, if we will follow Him, if we'll hearken to His voice and follow Him, that ties right back into you needing to be studied and have abiding in the Scripture. Y'all remember several months ago when I preached on Wednesday night? Maybe you don't remember, but I talked about believers must abide in the Scripture. We need to abide in the Scriptures day and night. We need to ever soak it up. We're leaky vessels. We've heard that a bunch from Brother Hall through the years. We're leaky vessels, and we are. We need to soak it up. So this is all we need to really entertain. I know we got some carnal things that we got to entertain for our secular world, but don't get absorbed in that stuff. So we have the victory over self if we let the Spirit of God lead us. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:6 that we're supposed to add temperance to our faith. We add temperance to knowledge. Be diligent to add to your faith virtue and knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. There's a whole list of things. But temperance means self-control. That's what temperance means. Some say it just means moderation, but you can't have moderation if you don't have self-control. So it means self-control. No matter how you look at it, temperance means self-control. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory over self, and we can have self-control. So we can have victory over self. Those natural inclinations that we may have that are not conducive to what the Word of God says. If we start to try to wander out of the boundary of something like, it's okay to have something sweet every now and again, but you don't need to have it chronically, every day, all day long. You'll turn into a diabetic. That's common knowledge. You know, you got to rein that in. Self-control. It's okay for me to have it a once in a while, but you can't have it every day. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have victory over self. So you have self-control through victory through Jesus, victory in Jesus. Fifthly, victory over poverty. We have victory over poverty. Y'all looking at me funny on that one. We have victory over poverty. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So victory in Jesus. Through Jesus we are rich. We have victory over poverty. We're joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We are rich in Christ. We are rich. We have victory over poverty. We're rich in Christ. I know y'all thinking about money. Talking about that's all. That's where your mind automatically goes to. I'm not rich because I ain't got no money. I'm broke. I owe the bank all kinds of money or whatever. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rich. As a matter of fact, I seen someone a couple weeks ago in the bank, and she was talking about, she asked where we went to church and everything, and I told her, and she said, oh, I remember the station and everything. She goes out to Pierce Chapel, by the way. And we were talking about, something got said about the Lord Jesus, and she's like, yeah. She's like, you know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you really don't know anything and don't have anything. And I said, you're exactly right. That's the truth. You can have all the money in the world, all the wealth in the world, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing. You're poverty. You're very poverty stricken. If you can have, like I said, all the money in the world, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're broke. You are broke, absolutely broke. You have no hope in this life or the life to come, really. We are rich in Christ. Jesus, speaking to the church of Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. He puts a parenthesis in there. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So they had... He knew their works. He knew their tribulation. He knew their poverty. But yet he said, but thou art rich. Why were they rich? They were rich because they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. They had victory over poverty. He didn't consider them poor. They had poverty in the world, but he said, thou art rich because they knew the Lord. And these riches are unsearchable riches. In Ephesians 3:8, unto me, is Paul speaking, unto me, who I am less than least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's unsearchable riches in Christ. I mean, we sang that song, the best is yet to come, or we've heard it. You know, we play it on the station, the best is yet to come. It's untelling what riches we do have in Christ. I mean, I know we just got a little fragment, really a little taste of it right here. But the more you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth, and the more you search the Scriptures, and the more you grow in the Lord, you know, and a salvation is a relationship. That's what it is. It's a relationship. Just like a husband and wife, they grow together, and then you learn what riches you have within one another. Ain't that right? You learn how much the riches that you have, the unsearchable riches you have in one another. And that's what it is with Christ. It's a relationship that you have with Christ, and you, the more you grow close to him, you learn of those unsearchable riches. Number six, we have victory over the grave. Because Christ arose from the grave, we likewise will rise if we die before the rapture. We have that hope. We have victory over the grave. We read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. But I would not have you, ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's in the grave. They're dead. They went on. They're asleep. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we have that hope. We have the victory over the grave, and we have the hope of the resurrection. That's the victory over the grave. We're not going to be left. Even if we die right now before the Lord returns, we have hope that we're going to get up. We have hope that those that's died before us, they're going to get up. Paul just said, we're not going to prevent them. When the Lord comes back, they're going to get up, then we're going to go and meet them in the air, and then be in the air with the Lord in the air forever. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have victory over the grave. So I say, like John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's what I say. It'd be all right with me if he came tonight. Came right now before I got done preaching. There ain't anything that's more exciting and more something to hope for and look forward to than the coming of the Lord. That is our blessed hope. Ain't that right? It's a blessed hope. The Lord returning. Lastly, young breath, sigh of relief. Number 7, victory over death. You see here in the text, I'll turn back here to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. It's victory over death. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's victory over death. That's what Paul's talking about. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. You can find that. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's where he's referring to the Old Testament there in Isaiah. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those that are born again, those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, have their name written in the book, the Lamb's book of life, and they won't be cast into the lake of fire. They have victory over death. They have victory over... They may die here on this earth, but they have victory over that second death. That's what I'm referring to. You may die here in this physical realm, but you won't die for eternity in hell if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have victory over death. In Revelation 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So no more tears, no more fears, and no more pains. That'd be a wonderful time. And I'll say again, like John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's what he ends Revelation with. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I say amen to that. I say, come on. So that's the whole outline right there. All 7 points. Victory over sin. Victory over Satan. Victory over the spirit of error. Victory over self. Victory over poverty. Victory over the grave. And victory over death. So I'll say once again, like I said this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. He might come back tonight. That'd be a wonderful thing. That'd be the greatest thing in the world for those of us that are saved. But it'd be a dreadful thing for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can know Him if He's speaking to you and He's drawing you, like I mentioned this morning. No man can come unto the Father but by Me, the Father. And no man can come unto Jesus except the Father draw him. So if the Father's drawing you, you can come to Jesus. You know that one that was blind, sitting by the wayside begging? He was crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples was like, hush him up. And then Jesus told him, said, no, bid him come. And they went over and they said, arise, he calleth thee. So that's what I say to the sinner. Arise, he calleth thee. Come, don't wait. Come, do business with him. while he draws. We'll get him to come with an invitation song. And we'll all stand. And you do business with the Lord. Maybe you just want to come pray and thank the Lord for the victory that you do have in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. We do have the victory. We sang the song, Faith is the Victory. Thank God for victory in Jesus. You obey His voice now as we get ready to sing an invitational song here. What page number?
341.
341. What is that song?